All right, everybody, welcome back to another Productivity Like a Pro session here with my dear friend Paco, our co-founder of the Paperless Movement. And today we will dive into a very interesting topic, as usual. What is it about today, Paco?
Well, it was about something that emerged in our cohort, the Inner Circle cohort that we are handling this month. Well, every month, okay? Every month we will have one different cohort. And the point and the topic was about changing apps. One of our members was hesitating between moving his project management tool from one to another. I think he was doing quite a few things in Trello, I guess. I'm not sure right now.
Well, yeah, he was running everything in Trello, actually multiple businesses. And then he started to implement ClickUp and migrating and everything at once. And this brought up the discussion about when should you actually switch tools over the effort and the cost that are involved. And then when you look at this from a different perspective, maybe you don't even change it, even if the other tool is better. And well, we saw there Trello and ClickUp. And obviously, when you hear these two words, then you instantly think, well, I'm going for ClickUp. But who is using Trello anyway today? It might be not the case in many businesses, as Trello is very simplistic and easy to understand for many people and easier to handle. So many people are used to Trello or Kanban boards, and therefore it might be easier to handle. So migrating not only to a different tool, but also workflows and people onboarding to other tools. This is really the topic that we want to talk about today, when you should do this. But it also applies to your personal tool usage. So when should you switch any tool overall? I mean, by the things that we will discuss today, you will see this from a different perspective. And it also goes along with the topic shiny object syndrome. You see a fancy trailer, a YouTuber talking about a new productivity tool, and you say, man, this is the one and only tool that I need now. And you instantly start switching. And then you, well, that's what we want to dive into today.
Yes, because there's a fear, and I'm the first, about that fear. And it's the sensation of being behind, that you are not taking advantage of a certain technology or a tool, that you are using or stick to the same tools so that you are not evolving. Well, in my opinion, it's quite dangerous, especially when you are dealing with a lot of users. In my case, for instance, we are more than 60 people in one of the companies. And for instance, we keep using a project management tool that I've always said that it works perfectly. It's quite old. It was a bet I made, I think, over 15 years ago. So you can imagine the technology at that time. And well, they have been keep evolving. And if you compare this tool with the current project managers like Asana or ClickUp or Linear, well, if you compare it with Linear, man, what a difference. But the point is that it works perfectly, okay? All the workflows work without any problem. Everybody knows what needs to be done. We are able to prioritize. We use it as a communication tool, so we don't use email, talking about tasks related to projects. And the thing is, well, we are also registering our recording, sorry, our hours that we dedicate to the different projects. And well, pretty easy. The app name is...
Yeah, I know that. That's...
Okay, because there's Arial. It's quite unknown. Because in fact, the thing that I loved the most about this app, it was the database model behind the tool, because I saw that the different entities, the objects, the relationships between them, the links, how everything was pretty well implemented. And I think that the success of any tool we are seeing, like some of the tools, like for instance, Todoist, is leveraging thanks to have that amazing database model that allows them to connect anything, to leverage, to create new features without a affecting the foundational core, and really fast. And these applications, for instance, has been, well, improving little by little. It's something that it's not something fancy. It's not something horrendous, okay? I have to say that too. But the point is that I will never try to change it unless I clearly see that there's a clear advantage, okay? Without any hesitation, because I have to say something. At the beginning, without using a tool, it seems that everything is going to work pretty well. And the moment that you go really deep into that tool, you see the weaknesses that any other tools has. So beware. Yeah. That's the thing that I say.
And the question is now, well, obviously the question arises, what is this tool and what is the name? And you said intervals. But now is the question, would you recommend it to somebody who is just starting a new business now? I mean, in this case, it would be for a marketing agency, right?
It depends on the use case. For me, it's something that it's a tool really easy to understand. So if you have many uses, I do think that it's a good bet. It's just a matter of giving it a try and see if it works. But if you try to compare it with any of these project management tools, the current that I have mentioned that you can find and are the big players, like, well, even Monday, I forgot about Monday, for instance. I have to say, I have tried all of them. Okay, I have tried Asana and I'm currently using ClickUp. I'm currently using Linear. I have used Monday in the past. I think I have used most of the big players. Talking about, well, Trello was something that never worked for me. It was too simple. And for me, there's a moment that Kanban boards don't work if you have a high volume of information. And the point is that most of these tools, even intervals, you can see the information in Kanban boards. You can do that in Monday. Well, in many other project management tools, you can do it. So, well, it's a feature that even some of them that are not so board-based, I would say, they are currently using it. So, well, why not? For me, it's simple. It works. It's a company that it's really well consolidated because, in fact, as usually happens, it was a software company, okay, who didn't find out the correct project management tool, and then they decided to create their own tool. And, well, it works so well for them that they started to sell it. And, well, in fact, they've been doing it. I thought, and it was one of my biggest fear, in that it was going to disappear, but it never disappeared. And they keep running the business and they keep improving it, and they also improve the onboarding process. And, well, you can handle many things using that tool, but I could say that it looks like all the style, I could say. It works. At the end, I am pragmatic, and it's a tool that I've been using it. I think that the last year, we handled more than 500,000 tasks. So you can imagine the volume of this tool without any problem. I mean, the database behind, it's really well developed, and that's why you don't have any performance issues. For instance, that's important when you are talking about big, okay, quote, 60 people team. But, well, it's quite a lot of people, especially if you pay the salaries every month. And the point is, well, it's one of the tools. And that's why I cannot move. It has to be something so life-changing. For instance, I'm really looking forward right now to an amazing tool to record the hours of the team much easily using AI, using recommendation, using historical data, so people can't record their hours because of the talking about the profit of each project, each client. Well, a much more complex tool that it's linked to the financial system. And that's why I've been always looking. And in fact, right now, I'm trying to look for another tool. But at the moment, I haven't changed it for these big players that I've just mentioned.
Yeah. And Ariel just says, how do you try an app? Is it not a quite complex issue? And that's exactly what it is, trying an app, or especially with the team. And when should you do this? So I will tell a bit of about my backstory there. When I was part of a team in big corporate, I was advocating always new tools and improved team performance. And there was a struggle in the beginning because we instantly implemented new tools in the team and everybody had to start to using that. But not everybody is a fan of switching tools, and then they have daily business to do. And this is where the first learning, I mean, we are talking from more than 10 years ago, there I started to use them myself along with the existing tools. But there, what key is, you have to understand the tool agnostic workflows first. And that's where iCore comes into play. When you go through, Ariel, you just joined the Paperless Movement. Well, you just joined the Paperless Movement membership, so welcome to the party. When you go through the iCore journey now, you will get the understanding of the tool-agnostic concepts and workflows in productivity end-to-end, from information collection and management to also project management, task management, and so on, to the action world. And this is really key. That's why we are so forcing the things into the tool-agnostic space, even though that we are providing implementation examples, how we implement these concepts and workflows to the tools that we use ourselves to better explain how they work in real life. But key is to understand the workflows in your business, in the tools that you're currently using. If you don't have any workflows or you don't recognize them, this is the moment where you start to write them out, to understand them, because then you can instantly switch to different tools because the underlying workflows will just work in any other tool. You will realize, and that's why we say that, you will realize when you go to Monday, Asana, ClickUp, intervals. I don't care. I'm not even scared opening any other tool up, because there will be always a basic set of features that every project manager provides. And then you will have the understanding what features you really need to run your business. And therefore, one tool provides more features in one direction and another tool provides features in a different direction. And therefore, you start to understand what is really helping you. So getting back to my example, I was taking over a team, was a team leader myself, and they had no project management tool at all. And I was working in a 300,000 employee company, and there was obviously a lot of actually human project managers, right? They had their tools and we were working in several projects. And I came into this team and I used Asana back then as the first tool for myself, just to collect projects that my team is working on, because they were firefighters. They had no idea. So we had to get some structure. And therefore, I was collecting all the projects that these been working on. And they were working on 150 projects in parallel with 5 people globally. And that's where I had them already listed all in Asana. And therefore, I was able then to go to the manager and show him, well, these are all the projects we are working on. There are too many. Now you see them listed out. So we were able to prioritize the projects that we really need to focus on. So we narrowed it down to 50 projects. And then I onboarded the team slowly to Asana, because this became, each project in Asana became a single source of truth for this project. So we started to collecting information on this project. And this is where the team then learned the advantage of having one tool where they know when they go there, they will find all the information they need for this project, instead of somebody calling you about a project and then you start searching for the information from all the different sources. And while this became so successful that we also got a different department in, the engineering department, and we worked together in the same tool, cross-department wise. And then we rolled out Asana for more than 1,000 people globally, all working in Asana. And well, we came up to 16,000 tasks handling per month within just half a year. And now we come to the topic of this podcast. We were running this Asana. It was very successful. Team performance increased by 40% cross-department performance. And suddenly the company decides that Trello becomes the official project management tool for the whole company, 300,000 employees. And we have to kill Asana. And actually, I was working in IT and I was a business analyst, and it was my job to explain exactly when we should switch tools. And so I get the request from the management, well, you have to kill Asana, you have to use Trello now. And I just make a simple calculation, how much it would cost to stop the projects that we are working on right now, to migrate the data over 16,000 tasks to the new project, to onboard the 1,000 people to these new workflows in Trello, because Trello had less features than Asana. Therefore, we were leveraging a lot more, so we had to work do workarounds. So we've been talking about a million euros for the migration process itself, just to go to a tool that they say we should use. And therefore, this number, when they see costs versus the force that you have to go over, then we stopped it. We were able to keep using Asana. On the other hand, we always were forcing the things that we all using the same tool, because it makes it so much easier to use this. So to overcome this, we had to use Trello in parallel. And therefore, in Trello, whenever a project manager was in Trello, we were linking out to the relevant tasks in Asana. And that's always key. So you're always able to build up systems in parallel and then have at least the links to the relevant content in one major tool. And that's the same that we said to our Inner Circle member in this coaching session, where he should slow down with the migration process, as he was talking about, I don't know, 160 people, something, migrating to a new...
There was another
Inner Circle member trying to migrate from Monday to ClickUp. That was the APIs. So he wanted to bring over dashboards, but the one member with Trello and ClickUp. So he partially migrated, and it was the right process. Migrated just one department. It was the marketing department, starting in ClickUp. And therefore, it needs really to be siloed, so they have really their processes in their department. It's not affecting the other departments. So it's a big step to really switch tools, and it really needs to have a big advantage to switch the tools, because the moment where you get excited about, oh man, when we are in there, in your brain, it looks so fancy, everything, and it makes all the sense that you use this new tool. But the moment you go to the new tool, this is where then after 1-2 months, you realize, man, it's not so much better than the other one. But the opportunity costs, where people weren't able to focus on tasks, not being able to work on new stuff, this migration, especially with big teams, this is crazy. If you're just getting started with your business, your solopreneur, I mean, this is a lot easier. But even then, I was using Notion for a long time. Then I switched to ClickUp. Then I tested all the other things. Obviously, this was my job in the side hustle with the Paperless Movement, testing out all the project managers in addition to the ones that I already knew. This is where I came up with the playground, where the sandbox mode, where I just have a closed area where I say, okay, I'm testing this tool now, but this is not part of my business. I'm just playing and I'm just pretending that I'm using it. And then you see the friction points, and then you really see if it is worth migrating or not. And even if it is more effort to run the tools in parallel, it's really worth it, because you have a direct comparison to what you have right now and what you could have in the other tool. And then it makes sense to really look into, is it worth the cost investment to migrate over all the stuff to the new tool?
Yes, for me, the way to try an app is, I try it myself. That's the first thing. Yeah. And the moment that I'm more or less convinced, then I have one person in the company that has a global vision of the processes, because she's in the middle of everything. And then I share it with her and we decide, okay, we see the pros and cons. And the point is that most of the tools are rejected by us, okay? No matter how different they may seem, or how they crucial, or that we are missing something by not using these new tools, because it's really tough. It's really tough when you have to handle with the people's frustration, all the trade-offs of people wasting their times, people getting angry because they cannot work comfortable. Too many things that at the end. And also, this shows that when you have consolidated workflows, that they have been working pretty well in a complex system as a business is, you don't need to reinvent a wheel constantly. You know, it's much better to stay and bet on good tools that even, you see, this is not one of the big players in the market of project management, but even this tool is evolving, is progressing, because I have to say, for during these 15 years, it has evolved, okay? And the team with them, they have been introducing new features, they have been improving, they are constantly, improving the thing. So why not having, maybe it's not so fancy, or maybe we are lacking some of the features. For instance, talking about knowledge management is not a tool at all, okay? You cannot compare with those project management like ClickUp, where you can perfectly combine the BKM area and the area.
And BPM.
BKM and BPM, okay? I mean the project management and the knowledge management related to business. But it doesn't matter, okay? Behind for BKM, we have some other tools, like, for instance, Google Docs, okay? And all the power of Google behind. So we just put the link in that project management and everything is connected. And also, we are building a huge knowledge management database based on another tool that I always forget the name. It's Stripe, I think, because I'm always confused with Stripe. I think it's Stripe. Well, it's quite famous. And they are making an amazing job talking about knowledge management for companies. And we are getting and covering those gaps. But the core element, you know, the action, the getting things done for the company, especially with that high volume of data, is well preserved. We are really happy. People are happy, although many of them complain because they want more futuristic tools. Okay. But at the end, it's much better for the company to stay on the things that you know than those one who may be better at the beginning. But the moment that you start using them daily and with high volume of data, it's something that sometimes you have surprises. And that's something that I have, especially about performance. It's something that you never should take for granted, because when you are dealing with a huge amount of data, it's not the same. And with, for instance, when you're in a testing zone, okay, with yourself, just one project that you take as a test and things like that, when you start uploading the things and a lot of recurring users, for instance, too, it's not just a matter of the database model, but also the servers, too many technical aspects that when a huge company is working daily without any problem, changing that step forward should be huge, okay, to justify that move, because the trade-offs and the suffering of the transition is horrendous, horrendous. Right, it now is. I'm an RP, and this is being, well, it's knocking me down for 1 year, and even 3 years before that we were preparing everything. Well, it's a mess when you are dealing with complicated systems.
The thing is also that you bet on intervals makes also sense with a 15-year established tool, and they keep improving the things. They make probably slow steps because they are careful not to destroying all the setups from their customers. If you compare it to something like ClickUp, that is fairly young company, and now they made a switch from ClickUp 2.0 to 3.0. And if you go to the forums, people are really complaining because all the workflows need to be rewritten, how to go to the inbox where they do process SOPs that they established already. So for ClickUp, it was the right decision to get to this next level. That was important. They had to do it. But if you bet on a young tool, you have to expect these changes, right? That's the thing, and how crucial this is. So that's why I compared always Asana and ClickUp, being Asana the Apple and ClickUp more the Android thing, where Apple also makes very slow changes. It's very small changes, but then if they implement something, it makes sense in the overall concept of the tool. And that's what you see in Asana. It is also of one of the very established tools since when they launched, also more than 10 years, maybe even 15 years ago already. I remember that there was the first one that we used back then, and we white labeled it for the big company, and they had all these things as well that you were able to white label this for big companies, and they were targeted towards big companies. So they cannot afford to really make fancy changes in there that interrupts everything or introduces bugs, because as you mentioned, imagine that the project manager stops working for 1 week, the whole business just stops working. That's really the issue. And where you really have to be careful with all these fancy new tools coming out and saying, well, we are the next ClickUp, we are better than ClickUp and better than Notion and so on. If you are a solopreneur starting out, you can bet on these things, and maybe you don't have so many tasks. But once you're, as Paco says, with 500,000 tasks, imagine you go to a tool that you don't know the future of, and maybe it disappears in 1 year from now. This is just impossible for the bigger companies. And this is why the established tools bet on the big companies, and the smaller tools, they really reach out for the entrepreneurs and so on and try to promote it rather there.
Yes, and it also happens, and it happens to me, that when you have been using a tool for quite a long time, you start to not to pay attention to certain features. You think that they exist all over the place, no matter the tool. And it's the moment that you make the move when you start, well, remembering all those features that meant nothing for you at that moment when you were using your current tool. And it's now when you have made the change, when you start saying that it wasn't so bad, your current application. And that's something that it's inherent, I could say, to human beings, okay, that it's the moment that we lose something, the moment that we pay attention to that, no? And the moment that we have it, we don't pay any attention at all. So be careful. And well, that doesn't mean that you don't evolve, okay? We are constantly evolving, but the pace for a company is not the same as an individual, because it's impossible, okay? Because the complexity has nothing to do. And well, one thing is, well, I'm going to change my task manager for me. And another thing is, I'm going to change the project management of a whole company. That's totally different, and the approach should be totally different.
And that's where the iCore framework comes into play. So for our members who join, you laying out your current tool stack on the iCore framework, and there you learn the difference between core applications, satellite applications, and utility apps. So the core applications usually are your project managers, the note-taking apps where you have your PKMs in there, and they should be very rarely changed. And satellite apps are just enhancing your existing core apps, and therefore they're easy to exchange. So if this is something you're interested in and you haven't done already your iCore framework, do this first, because then you will very quickly realize what is really your important apps in your business that you should keep running as long as possible, and which one could you replace very easily with other tools. So, well, I think that was it about the session. Everything that needed to be said, we said. And if not, then let us know. We are happy to follow up in the next live Q&A. So until then, catch you up in the next one.
Okay, see you guys.
Bye-bye.